Tape is part of an oral history taping series. It has been made for the Westcliff Schoolhouse Museum. The subject of this tape is Helen Hibbs.
The teacher said, Mr. Blodgett says that he was the superintendent then. If you will take kindergarten, he says, I can have first grade, and I would like to have first grade. And that was just 3 days a week, you know. So, oh, well, that would be fun. So then I taught kindergarten for a couple of years.
And you are a native of Colorado?
Yes.
Where were you born?
In Alamosa.
And where was Mr. Hibbs born?
He was born in Mitchellville, Iowa.
And what is your birth date?
October the 24th.
What year?
1915.
And what was your father's name?
Let's see, my father's name was Albert. Albert Francis Chase.
And your mother's name?
Hilda Holtz. She had come from Germany when she was 5 years old.
Spell the last name.
H-O-T-Z. She had come with her parents to Iowa, too, when she was 5 years old.
And what is Arthur's father?
Walter.
And his mother?
Called her Pearl. Pearl. I think her name is Clara Pearl, but they always called her Pearl.
Do you know what her maiden name was?
McCraney. M-C-C-R-A-N-E-Y.
And was their home in Iowa?
Yes, for a long time. She was a Del Norte girl, though, I think.
Oh, uh-huh.
She was a Del Norte girl, and Art's father was from Iowa. From Mitchellville.
Wonder what time your mother came over from Germany. Came with her parents?
Yes, she came with her parents. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know the year.
I always wonder why they came over.
You know, I don't know.
For economic reasons or...
I really don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know. Now, Holtz was her stepfather. She said she lost her father. Her name was Hilda Beck, and her father was killed by lightning.
Oh.
And her mother remarried. And then they came over, and I don't know what. She says she remembers well. They first landed in Philadelphia. They had cousins there. And then I don't know how come they moved to Iowa, but that's where they were.
Were they farmers or?
No, they weren't farmers. He was a carpenter, I believe. She had a little sister.
Arthur's occupation was what?
Well, at one time he mined in Creed. He was a hard rock miner. Well, he was in Alamo, in Colorado anyway, after he grew up.
This is your husband?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And then was that after he was teaching or
yes, that was before. That was before.
Before sight?
Yeah, I didn't know him then.
When did he go into service then?
1940. And he was older. He was in his 30s then. And so he enlisted And because of his age, they put him, and he was already a pilot, he could fly. And so they gave him instructions, you know, he had to take more instructions, they sent him to school. And then he was an instructor all throughout the war. He was a flight instructor. And he taught Navy cadets, Army cadets. He and his brother both.
What were his brother's name?
Ashby.
That was here in Colorado?
That was here in Colorado, mm-hmm. They were stationed at Pueblo and Sterling at one time. And in Grand Junction, when the war was over, we were in Grand Junction.
No flying off ships?
No, he never left the States. He always wanted to fly that hump for some reason. But he never did. They kept him on as an instructor all through the war. And the last bunch he had were Navy cadets. That was the first training. The little planes.
When did he learn to fly?
I imagine around 1938 or 39, I think. He said they used to drive to Alamos every week in Crete.
Oh,
They both? Mm-hmm. They both flew.
Uh-huh. And when did he get into the TV and radio?
Well, after the service, we went to Salida. Well, his brother went to Salida first. We stayed in Grand Junction for a while. His brother went to Salida, and he called Art, and he said, Art, there are just hundreds of people here who want to fly. He said, I can't handle them all. He said, yeah, fine. Why don't we come over and start a flying school? So they, Art and he laid out the airport in Salida. It's the same airport. Uh-huh. And of course, it's been improved. But they laid out the airport and they taught students. And then they branched out. They went to Swatch and they came here. Oh. And I remember they had several students here. So then finally, Art just decided to move here. He liked it. We came over. The first time he and Ashby came, they came in a little Piper Cub and they landed on the highway, on Highway 69. And everyone in town came out, you know.
I bet they did.
Uh-huh. And so then we came here. He said, why don't you, or they didn't, but anyway, Art decided, you know, he loved this little town. He said, I want to get some little place and where I make a living and have fun too, you know, because this, he had muscular atrophy, progressive spinal muscular. Same as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh.
And I didn't know it at the time, but he said, you know, he knew he was going to have to get into something, you know, and he said, and then that's why we bought this place, you know, it's up for sale. He said, I could have a little store. And then when he wasn't flying in Salida, he worked as a work in a jewelry store as a watchmaker.
Oh.
You know, so he had that training. And
so you had a jewelry store?
Yes, so we bought this place. You had a little jewelry store. You didn't have much jewelry, you know, there wasn't much out. But he did fix a lot of watches.
Right.
Even people from Pueblo were bringing watches. He did fix a lot of watches. Yeah, he did. He really did. He had a good, and I probably found his old log the other day and watched it. Just all the kinds, you know, he made. And then they decided to, and then he flew in the morning, you know, just when it was nice. So Art, and they had ground school and everything here.
Oh.
Art took some classes in navigation and this and those things, and Ashby did too.
Was the airport out?
Yes, Art laid out. Come on in. Art and Ashby laid out the airport. Art laid out the airport and he had it, and it was a good one. He claimed it was the best.
Uh-huh.
But then it was FCC approved. Oh yes, uh-huh. And then he had that until they sold the land, and now our camp fitting for a new airport.
Yes.
But it had it could have been extended for the mountains, and Art said that, and Art had extended several times. It had been extended, but anyway, he had a he had a flight school here, and they had as many as 50 pupils at one time.
Oh, yeah.
And Ashley would come down to help him, and especially with the ground school.
You can't imagine, can you?
They got private licenses and some commercial. Some commercial licenses that they gave. And well, he started in 40. We were married in 43. We were married in 43. And, well, at that time he was flying. He was out of service in June of 43. And, well, they, by the way, anyway, his students and he built the airport.
Is that the reason they had to move
it? The county.
Because the land sold? For,
well, the county sold the land. They decided to trade that out there. I don't know why they wanted it out there, but they did. And so they can't get it back. They wanted it back several times. But, you know, they sold it.
Better aeronautically than where they are now.
Well, Art figured it was, I mean, because he did, and it was approved.
Would there be enough room in this area to expand if they had this?
There would have, yes. That could have gone through to the all along, you know. And, there would have been, yes. That anything would handle. Will anything you need. But, and I think Art gave the county or somebody $100 for the hangar space, you know, for he built the hangar. Mm-hmm. And everybody helped him. That's how it was built. And he paid $100 for the space where the hangar was. And then when he wasn't flying, like, he worked on watches. We sold a little jewelry. He's usually not ordering, you know.
What time did he get into the television?
In 53. And well, then he found, he learned to fix watches with his left hand, even. You know. Facilitating. And then he found he could no longer do that. He said, well, it was just about the time television came in. You know, it was getting popular. And he said, he always was electronically inclined, too. And so that's what he decided to do. I have to get television in here if I'm going to have television. So that's when he put in the translator. It was 53. The old license. It was 53.
And then when did the county take it over?
We gave it to the county in 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, Art said, I don't know how else to do it. And we didn't even sell it to him. He said, he told him, he said, if you will promise to keep the television going, he said, I put the television here and I want it to continue. Mm-hmm. And they promised that they would. He said, I don't want to have it. I don't want anything to do with it anymore. So we gave them all of us.
Tell about what you told me about the, when you first installed that, about your, not the subscribers, but $10 a year, you said.
Oh, yes. Well, Art must have spent thousands and thousands of hours up there. Uh-huh. Just thousands and thousands of hours. And there was a man here, Joe Beck. Mm-hmm. And without Joe, he was a retired rancher. And he just loved Art, you know. But anyway, without old Joe Beck, he bought a meter. And he tested everywhere, all over the valley, where he could get a signal in the springs. Mm-hmm. And, that was the best place upon. Well, it's called Higgs Hill now.
Yeah.
And I don't know who named it that way.
So that's where your husband actually started that.
Yes, yes, he started.
Related.
He built all that. And yeah, and then he translated. So then he contacted somebody and we bought the translator. And then he asked viewers to pay $10 a year. And we got about half. About half would pay. We'd advertise. Once in a while, he'd turn it off. You know, and then he would put something on there like the television is turned off, you know, until more are paid. But they never did, so we just kept it on, you know. After we got off, we just And so then it was about 4 years ago we gave it to the king. He said, I don't know anyone else to do it. I know we talked to him a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's just something really good. So we can.
And no, like, stations, like in Colorado Springs and Pueblo offered to help?
No, he never had it. No, he never even. No, they didn't. I think he could have later. He was one of the first ones. In fact, he was appointed to Governor McNichols, it was. Governor McNichols got permission from Governor McNichols to put up one of the first translators in the state, or in, that was ever done, you know. And he was really a pioneer. He was a pioneer in flying, a pioneer. Because he really was. He was really a remarkable man.
How do you think the curriculum matches then today?
Well, we didn't cover it nearly as much, I don't think. You know, I haven't taught her 14, 15. But, so I don't know, but I'm sure much more is presented, especially much more world news and things like that. Didn't you imagine?
How about music? Did you teach music?
Yes. I taught just the music in my grade.
Each teacher did that?
I think that, yes.
In the one-room schoolhouse?
Let's see, when we were over here, I traded the music with art. Betty taught art, and I taught music. So we traded, and I did for a while up here, too. But just in the primary grades.
Just one to eight
grades. But just in the first three grades is all I traded.
How about recreation? How did you handle that?
Well, over in the little school, it was an awful lot of fun. We just, you know, we only had the first three grades.
Mm-hmm.
There were just three of us, Betty and Hattie McLeod and myself were the last teachers over there. And it was a lot of fun, you know, just play games, and then they loved to play. And I don't think there's a child ever got out of, especially a boy, out of that school. Did you notice around the building there's a little ledge around that, about that wide, you know, that little ledge?
Mm-hmm.
Every child could walk that ledge by the time they left the third grade, I'm sure. Every boy especially.
Oh, dear.
But every
you
day.
Do
they
do that today?
Do they?
I've seen young people come and their parents would be there picnicking in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll walk over there and they'll come up in that ledge.
They go turn around.
I remember doing that at our old school.
And this Bud Paquette. Yeah. And this Bud Paquette, he was just a master at it. He could go around faster than anyone, I believe. I think he had the record of going around the fastest of anybody. And we always had a whole lot of picnics or a little cookouts or something, you know. It was fun for just the first three grades because they didn't have all of that. You know, anything else to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no discipline problem whatsoever.
Were the parents involved a lot in the school?
Well, just of their own accord. They didn't, you know, they wanted to be. Yes, you just had all kinds of parents volunteer for anything you wanted to do, picnics or anything. They loved to do that.
Who was the
they didn't need to be told
superintendent then?
Very helpful. Mm-hmm.
They
are
good.
Oh, she's
got that. Yeah, I know. There was chicken. Who was the one? I can't remember. You probably have to remember right now. Remember.
Blodgett.
Oh, Blodgett wasn't that time. He was much later. Who in the world is it? I just on the tip of my tongue.
You think about it.
Well, Betty would know.
Was there also a principal, or was that?
No, I don't think even the high school over here. I came, it was right after consolidation, and they had the first three grades over there,
mm-hmm.
and the fourth, fifth, and sixth, and seventh, and eighth. went up to Silver Creek, and that old school, you know, under consolidation. Mm-hmm. And then the high school was in that old building.
So the superintendent was just over all
of it,
and
yes.
There was no principal.
I don't think there was a principal for several years, mm-hmm. many years. It was just superintendent. Oh, there was a vision, and there was a vision. Oh, I know, just as well as me.
Were you here during, you weren't here during the Depression?
No, oh no, we didn't come to 46.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was the economy
good? Well, it seemed to me it was better now. I know Art always said, he said, that's one reason when we used to drive up here and they'd fly. He said, I'd come up to see somebody, you know, to ask them about coming here and things. He said, everybody would be fishing. There would be all kinds of nice cars sitting around, but no one would be at home. They were all fishing. So he said, that's the kind of place I want. You know, and it seems like they all have nice cars, but it was a ranching. It was ranching, and they used grain. Art sprayed almost every rancher in the valley.
Oh.
You know, because they grew much grain, oats and wheat.
But they don't do that anymore.
No, they don't do that anymore. No, he sprayed.
What's the reason they don't do
that? I don't know. It's just the, I don't know. It just, you know, changes, I think. But there, oh, the ranches were beautiful. And then it was farmland, too, see. Because they grew a lot of grain, yes.
Do they have cattle like they do now? Or?
They had cattle, yes. They had cattle, but they also raised all their own hay and grain, and they planted it.
What was it that he was spraying? Was it insecticide?
No, he sprayed for weeds, a pesticide.
Oh, okay.
He never sprayed insecticide or anything. It was just for the weeds. Uh-huh. And the willows. The creeks were just lined with willows.
Uh-huh.
And he would spray the willows, the 2,4-D.
And that would kill them.
Mm-hmm. And that would kill them. And the fields would be beautiful. It'd just kill the weeds. But he was one of the first ones in the spraying business, too. He used to have the folks spray.
Did he spray it until the time he got sick?
Yes, he had to quit long before his brother. Yes, he got so he couldn't handle the airplane. Can't remember when. With the 59, we lost our last airplane. Big snow caved in the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't ever spray after that. His brother continued to spray for a long time.
The roof got so heavy the snow got so heavy on the roof that crushed it and went through the pond.
Mm-hmm. Art said he knew that was going to happen that night, but there was nothing he could do. You know, he couldn't get up and do anything.
How do you let the snow?
I imagine about like this.
Like
over,
it
yes,
now.
The cars were covered. And the show, the theater building, was caved in. And Fort Carson came in at that time to help the ranchers. They did that.
How long was the town immobilized?
Oh, I don't think very long.
But we didn't, there wasn't very much equipment on the county at that time.
Not really, oh no, oh no. Mm-hmm. This is a county town, really. Mm-hmm. But when we came here, there was a little drug store, and there were it was a gamble store and two other hardware stores. And there were three grocery stores and one in Silver Cliff.
Do you know the name of the grocery stores? Did Candace have the Piggly Wiggly then?
Piggly Wiggly, Candace had a Piggly Wiggly. And
was Marion's store still here?
Marion's is here. And then a few years later, why, Cope's came. Milo Cope. His name. He was here for years and years.
That's not the same Cope that has the
station
office supply.
No, I don't believe. No. Uh-huh.
Where was his drugstore?
Where Martin Tope is.
You know, did they build that building?
The building was there.
What was by the village shop?
The Gambles, though. The Gambles, I believe, is their name. Who
were the people that ran that?
Their name was Tomsic.
Is that the relationship with Tomsic?
Yes, Gary is would be a grandson. No, it wasn't either. Tomsic, it was Thunderbird at first. Thunderbird.
How about Evie? Where was her store?
Evie's store was down on 2nd Street, where the Golden Corners there are, you know, that empty building. Mm-hmm. Not going, It wasn't the one that, now the Falkenberg Hardware Store was on the corner.
When you came to this area, did Art open up his jewelry store right away too, or just?
No, he opened up the jewelry store right away. He had worked in the jewelry store as a wash repairman in Salida when he wasn't flying. And it was, first it was just a little place about this big in Fred, an old hotel there. If you remember that old hotel before it was remodeled, you probably weren't
was
here
it
then.
The West, was it the hotel here on Main Street
mm-hmm.
that
the burned
Luthien?
Down mm-hmm. that Luthien owned. Right. Fred came the same time we did, the very same time. May the 1st. We spent our first month up there, I think, before we could find a house. And there was a little building, a little side, a little room. It was about as big, well, from where that clock is up to here. That was all the bigger it was. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's where we had. And then in 50, we bought this place. That was 46. And then in 50, we bought this. We had a chance to buy this. Not that he believed we could make an just live here too, you know.
Was this a store, your living quarters?
An old couple lived here. Their name was Laycock, and they lived here. He was a old kind of promoter. He promoted the Bullingdon mine, and he was kind of a mine promoter. And Art was always interested in mining. He just loved prospect and things like
and
that.
And at that point in time, the mining was Bullingdon, where they were still selling the shares and things like that in the Bullingdon.
There was a lot of talk about it. It never did. I think they were promoting it anyway. Right. How it turned out. But anyway, he was promoted. But he was quite an old man. And they had partitioned this off. Now all the city, but his ceilings were all high, like they are in the store. And that it was during when you couldn't buy anything during the war, you know. And
couldn't get wood.
You couldn't get wood or anything. So really, we never did anything except just paint. And it looks awful now. It really needs remodeling. But we just, you know, Art was, he had debilitating disease there. Yeah. You know, and it progressed very slowly. They can't understand how it progressed so slowly. But it did. You know, it just one day he'd have to do something. The next day he couldn't. Until at the time he died, he could do nothing for years. His eyes were getting bad, and he couldn't do a thing. He had a wheelchair, and then he could drive a car, and he had a electric wheelchair. He had what was called progressive spinal muscular atrophy. See, the muscles just atrophy.
Helen, you play the organ in the Catholic Church.
Yes.
What year did you start?
About 1947.
Did they have a choir then?
Yes, they had a choir.
And they have one now?
Well, we only practice for Christmas and Easter. The rest is just congregational singing every Sunday. You know, congregation just sings unless Easter or something special like First Holy Communion, Confirmation.
Then you just all gather together?
We gather together.
Choir. Mm-hmm. Who directs your choir?
Aubrey Kramer.
And? Pardon?
Aubrey Kramer.
And who was directing it when you came?
Well, nobody particularly, I don't think. I think Catherine Bly, and I think her sister, Mrs. Degree, played the organ or something.
Was Latin used in the church when you first came here?
Yes.
For the masses?
Yes.
And, but it's not now?
No, it's not the city.
And who was the priest when he came here?
Well, different priests were sent from the abbey at first.
They didn't live here?
No, they didn't live here. They were from Holy Cross Abbey in Canyon City. And they would come down for every Sunday or for special occasions like weddings and funerals.
But they had
never were the same one.
They had a parsonage though, didn't they?
Yes, they had a parsonage. And he would come down on Saturday and he would stay there. Stay overnight. And then Father James came not long after that. In 48, I don't know exactly when Father James. It wasn't long after we were here he came.
Well, Helen, we really thank you for talking with us. And
thank
sure
you.
That this will help children to realize what life is like back when.